Everybody said? Amen. So we're going to start. You know, it's Thanksgiving. This is when everybody looks to be thankful, you know, appreciate people. How many of you know you need to tell the people that you appreciate in your life that you appreciate them before it's too late? Amen? Right? In saying that, we need to remember the people that God's placed in our lives and take care of them and be thankful for them. Understanding that we are one of the most blessed nations in the world, that we are the most blessed people in the world. And you say, well, you don't know my situation. You don't know where I am. No, and I don't. But I do understand that God is in control and that he is our provider and takes care of us, right? So in every aspect of our lives, we need to look towards him. And we're going to talk about having a thankful heart today. And I want us to look in the scripture in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We're going to talk about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And I'm going to read it to you real quick, and then we're going to break it down. I got a couple of points that I want to talk to you about in it and some different things. And it says this. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lift up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Understanding the culture, if you had leprosy or any kind of a sickness, you were not able to come into the presence of people. You had to stay away. When people came around you, do you know what you had to do? You had to throw your hands up and yell, unclean, unclean, and go the other direction, okay? Why? Because they didn't want to contaminate, right? It was their quarantine, right? That's what that was. You had to stay outside. You couldn't come around people, right? Put your hands up and say that. And so for them to come, even though they were at a distance, and speak to him, anything but that was wrong, okay? But they came to him. They had heard stories. And how many of you know, again, it is so important to share what Christ has done in your life to other people. The reason behind it is the scripture is this. It says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know what? It's not just my testimony that brings me out of situations. It's my testimony that brings Danny out of his situation. It's Danny's testimony that brings me out of my situation. It is the fact that we are not alone and that we all face the same battles. The problem is we're really good at hiding our battles. And we don't want people to understand because we want people to think that we're strong and that we've got it all together. Look, we live Facebook and Instagram lives, honestly. We see the best, and that's all we share. A lot of times, there's some people that are like, this is my dirty laundry. Everybody look at it. How horrible is it? They're those people, right? And so I understand that. But for the most part, what we do is we draw in when we have issues. And we talked about that in a message series in the past about us not turning in and us looking to other people. But it's us being able to come and say, I have the same thing going on in my life. Let's stand, not let's do it together, but let's stand together and help each other not do those things or get out of those things or walk through these situations. Amen? You never know how important that is until you're the one in the situation, right? You never know how important that is until you're the one in the situation. But these guys are all together, and they come, and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw him, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner. And as he said this to him, rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Understand this, when a God does something in your life, when he heals, anyone in the scripture, this is the only instance in the scripture when I saw, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I saw this one factor come into play. So they were all healed, right? But according to this, one of them was made whole, right? One of them was made whole. There were 9 people that were healed but didn't receive everything they could have from God. And I'm going to stop there because I'm getting into my stuff and it's horrible. I get ahead of myself sometimes. Y'all ready? Number one in your notes. This is the one thing as children of God, as even if you're an unbeliever, right? This is something that you need to understand. If you call on him, he will answer you, right? You say, well, it doesn't happen for unbelievers. Then none of us would be saved, right? None of us would be saved. He is waiting on us to turn to him, like I said a few minutes ago, and place these things in his hand. Unfortunately, we put stipulations. So there's a story that I've heard. I heard it from my pastor in Louisiana. It was about when people tell me stories, I see the pictures in my head. Like how many of you do that? Reason why I think is because when I was a kid, we would go on road trips. My mom would read a book to us, and I'd lay down in the backseat with my eyes closed, and I could picture it like it was a movie because we didn't have iPads and stuff back then, you know? I'm just being honest. We were unplugged at the time, if that's what you want to call it. But anyway, so I pictured this, and I always pictured the dude with the little stick and the little red thing when we pictured it. So there was this hobo, right? And he's walking down the railroad tracks one night, and he had some issues in his life, and he was kind of stumbling around through the things. And as he was walking down the trellis, his foot went through and got stuck, and he couldn't get his foot out. And then all of a sudden, he heard a sound. Y'all know what it is. It was a train. He's like, oh no, my foot's stuck. And so he's trying to do everything he could to get it out. He's trying to pull it out. He's trying to put God. So he turned to God. He said, God, if you will let me get my foot out, I will stop smoking. I will stop smoking. If I will do this, God, if you just help me with this. And he pulled and the train was getting closer. He's like, okay, I'll throw drinking in too, God. Like smoking and drinking. I'll throw all them in. And he's pulling and he's pulling. And then the train's getting closer. And as it gets closer, he says, God, I'll give you my life and I'll follow you however you want me to follow you. And then something broke and he came out and the train went by and just went past him. And he turned around and you know what he said? Thanks anyway, God. I got out of it myself, right? Unfortunately, that's what we do. Right? We get out of these situations and we totally forget that God is the one who gave us the provision to do these things, right? Scripture tells us that if we call on him, he'll think about returning it. He'll ponder it for a while. No, it says he will answer. Now, understanding when I say ponder it for a while, his time is not my time. Sometimes I ask him for things and he doesn't give them to me. Why? Because I'll mess it up between now and the time I'm supposed to use it. Right? He doesn't give it to me till right at the end. Why? Because he knows me. He probably knows you guys too, I'm thinking, right? He understands. So sometimes there's a process between the time that we call and that he answers us. If you read the book of Daniel, one of my wife's favorite parts of the Bible is when Daniel's going through crazy things and it takes a while and the angel finally comes to him and he said, the prince of Persia had me at bay for 21 days. But the answer was sent as soon as you prayed, right? So just because we don't receive it right at the time we think we need to receive it, don't think that God's not answering you. Because according to Scripture, when you call upon him, he'll answer you. And Luke 17, 12 and 13 says, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These guys, again, were unclean. Nobody wanted to be around them. No, they couldn't be around anyone or they would be killed, right? There's all these stipulations as to what their lives were supposed to be. And so many times we put people in that category or we feel like we're in that category where we don't deserve to be around people or they're too messed up, they can't be around me or this or that or the other. And we separate and isolate people out. But I want to read you some scriptures. If you're feeling in that way right now, I want you to hear this. If you're thinking this way about other people, I want you to hear this, okay? Romans 10, 13. Well, I'm going to start at 11, right? It's not on there. I added it. I'm sorry. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Never mind. It is up there. Sorry. Everyone. Who will not be put to shame? Everyone that believes in him. Everyone that believes in him. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone, everybody say everyone, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the thought process that if I call on God, if I reach out to him, he won't listen to me, is 100% wrong. So if you are thinking that, man, please put that away from you. Put that as far away from you as you can and understand that when I say something to God, he hears me. Do you know how I know he hears me? Because scripture says that I'll give an account for every idle word that I speak. How much more will God pay attention to the ones I'm speaking to him? Right? Think that thought. Don't ever let that thought press process come into your mind and say that he doesn't listen to me. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of him. So, let me see if I have something here. Hold on. I'm sorry. I don't usually do this to y'all. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. I have it later in my notes. I have it later on in my notes. So I'm not going to go there right now. I want you to understand that if you ask him, he will answer you. Amen? He will answer you. So please, 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 don't ever allow. I was praying. I'm going to be honest. I was praying right there. I came here a couple times this week, and I was just praying about some stuff and some situations. And it was like an attack hit me. Like, he ain't hearing you. This is ridiculous. What are you doing? Why are you even talking to him? I'm like, wait a minute. Wait. This is his house, first of all, so I know he's home, right? He's not bound by these walls. My brain works weird. So that was my first thought. And then second of all, I'm his child. Here's everything. He's waiting on me to turn to him and to come to him. And what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Place it at his feet, not pick it up. I was praying here a minute ago. I said, God, I'm putting it on the altar right here. This shows you how warped my brain is. I put it on the altar right here. I'm not going to pick it up when I come back up here to preach. I'm going to leave it here. Like I said that in my head to him. I'm like, look, when I come by, don't let it grab a hold of me, right? I'm going to leave it there. This is for you, right? And he said, well, it doesn't work that way. Well, it does in my brain, okay? I need to understand that when I give it to him, when I call him, he answers me. But the next thing that we see in this story about the answer that he gave to these 10 lepers was this, Luke 7:14. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. He said, go and do this. So many times when we ask God for something, he says, this is what you need to do. We get into a, God, I gave it to you. I'm just going to sit here until you do it. And that's not, show me in the scripture where that happened, except for the guy that was laying on the mat because he couldn't go nowhere. He's like, pick up your mat. Oh, wait, no. He said, pick up your mat and walk away. Right? There's always something that he says to us, and there's an obedience that has to happen for the blessing to come, right? And there's a lot of people say, no. We get blessing without, the one blessing that we get without anything, without obedience, is Jesus Christ dying for our sins and allowing us to have access into him. After that, every gift that comes, a lot of them come with stipulations in the scripture. Now, it doesn't allow me to be there. You say, no, that's not true. Man, look, it says, if you bring your tithes and offerings in the storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven. If, then. Right here, he said, if you go to the priest, you'll be healed. Now, he said it a little bit differently. He just said, go to the priest. What happened? They started walking, and as soon as they were obedient, what happened? A transformation came about. As soon as they started walking, number two in your notes, when you obey him, you will be blessed. When you obey him, and again, there's a lot of people that talk about how, man, it's not about obedience. Man, look in the Word of God all through, even New Testament. Paul says, hey, put away all these things, this evil life, the sin, the things that you're doing. Get them out of your life. Get them away from you. And he says, I've done it and I have freedom, right? I have freedoms to be able to do things. Man, go back at last week, man. There are so many more freedoms in Christ, so many liberties in Christ. We focus on the few things, right? The one tree in the middle of the garden when there's all the other vegetation, fruit, and things that are available for us. We focus on the thou shalt nots. Do you know what? There's a whole lot more blessings in the Word of God all the way through it than there are don't do's. Perspective. Changing our glasses, right? When you obey him, you will be blessed. They started walking, and as soon as they started walking to the priest, everything changed. What do you need to start walking towards the priest with in your life? I'm not saying come to me. That's a whole other ballgame. I'm saying, what do you need to be obedient with in your life to see the blessing of God come? What do you need to be obedient with in your life? A.W. Tozier says this. He has some great quotes. Y'all ever want to be picked up and encouraged? Look at him. He's got some stuff, right? He's got some stuff that'll wreck you too, so just be careful. He says this, the child of God must be completely obedient to the word of the Lord. The child of God must be completely obedient to the word of the Lord. He said the driver on the highway is safe, not when he reads the signs, but when he obeys them, right? So all the signs in the world telling me to slow down and watch the curve and be careful about this, or the bridge is out, don't go that way, right? That's funny. So there was two preachers, and they were sitting across from each other. And it's like, turn around or you will die, right? They had it on their church sign. And this dude comes speeding by, and he's like, third one, he comes speeding by. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. And he goes down, and then you hear a large crash. It was because the bridge was out down the road. He's like, hey, turn around, you're going to fall off the bridge, right? He just didn't put all the wording in there, right? So many times we're like, turn around or you'll die, right? One of those things. We need to understand there are signs that are put out for all of us. Where do we get these signs? A lot of them, most of them are in here. Right? All of them are in here. Because you know the people that give them to you, that tell you about them, you know where they learned them? In here. Right? We need to understand when we're obedient, when we follow what God has for us, there is a blessing that rests on our lives because of the obedience. Because of the obedience. How many of you know nobody likes to talk about being obedient? Just be honest. I don't like being obedient. Ask my mom and dad about that one. They'll tell you all about how I like to be obedient, right? But how many of you know obedience is important in our life? Do you know it's not only important for me to be obedient, but me being obedient is important for my children that watch my life, for my friends that I surround myself with, for the people that see me from the outside. How many of you know my obedience is important? If it works for me, it works for you too. Obedience is important in our lives. We need to understand that. That obedience, that when we obey him, we will be blessed. And this is the thing again, going back about blessings. Blessings is not just money. How many of you know blessings can be money? He can bless me with funds. He can bless me. So if I have an issue, if I know somebody's in the hospital, right, and people come to me for prayer, do you know what I pray? I pray, God, take care of the whatever's going on, not the symptoms, right, but the cause behind it, and provide in every area, every aspect. That's peace in the heart of the family that's going on. That's provision for the doctor bills that are about to come. Do you know when God takes care of the situation, he takes care of all of it, right? We need to understand that there are, you can't even count the different types of blessings that God puts into your life. Don't limit it. Put it in a box and say it's about finances or it's about this or it's about how happy I am. Again, back in the scripture, there's nowhere in the scripture where it says God just wants you to be happy. That's not in there. Right? Now we can see principles and areas and ways. Now he always wants us to have joy, which comes from him, which is completely different than happiness. Amen. Completely different. But we need to understand that when we obey him, we will be blessed in every kind of way. I told you this the other day. Somebody came to the gym where I work out at, and it's a buddy of mine, and he was there, and he's like, look, dude, what size shoe you wear? And I told him, he's like, listen, I bought some, but I have to have wide shoes, so I've got a couple pairs of shoes that I want. If you want them, I'll bring them to you. Some of them brand new. Some of them don't even have a scuff on the bottom of them. He put them on, started wearing them. He's like, man, he's hurt. Took them back off. Why he didn't do that in the store, I'm not sure about that. We didn't discuss that yet. But he opened up his car and they were falling out of the back of his truck, and he gave me all these pairs of shoes. And just a couple days before that, my daughter had been given, we have some friends that their daughter is like this high and my daughter's this high, and they keep going like this. So this one keeps giving like loads, like garbage bags full of clothes. Like, we already got enough clothes. But anyway, she brings them and gives them to her. And Cindy asked me in the back seat, she's like, Dad, why do people just give us stuff? Like, I don't understand that. And it was my turn to say, not to say, look, we are doing good, but to say when you're a blessing, God blesses you. Like when you try to give, when you find areas to put into people's life and to build people and to give things to people, guess what happens? He sends people in your life to give you and he didn't have to give me money. I got 16 pairs of shoes at my house now that I got to find a home for some of them because I ain't got a place for 16 pairs of shoes. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that blessings come. And just because I'm obedient in this area doesn't mean the blessing can't be in this area. Doesn't mean it has to be in this area, right? God blesses us with so many different things. One thing I do want to encourage you about, or make sure that that's not the basis of your relationship with God, is the blessings. The blessings comes because of the relationship that we have, not just because he's got a whole bunch of stuff, he just wants to give it away, right? It doesn't work that way. There's a relationship that comes. And because of that, this is the thing. Once Christ is a part of our life, once we're in the family, the scripture says, and I don't have it right here with us, but the scripture says that we are heirs. We are a part of his family. And because of that, every benefit, every blessing that he has belongs to us. In saying that, my girls are my world, right? I love my girls. And they are welcome to anything I have. They're 11 and 8. I'm not giving them the keys to the car yet, right? I'll take them wherever they need it to go if I can do it. My wife will, we will. That's a blessing, but it's not. They're not ready for it yet. How many know some blessing God has for us, we're not ready for yet? And he's not going to give it to us because we're not ready. There were some 14-year-olds the other day, and I can't remember where they were at. There was three 14-year-olds that were in a car. And they got in a wreck, and two of them were in ICU, and I don't remember what happened to the other one, right? Why? Because they weren't ready for it. I'm sure their parents didn't give it to them, but they wanted to use it before their time. Don't try to use God's blessing before your time, okay? Wait, and it gets so difficult and so tough because of our situations, and we want to say, God, I need this, and this needs to happen. What ends up happening? We end up with an Ishmael, not an Isaac, right? We end up with things that we don't need and more issues and more problems. And so understand, when it comes to his blessing and his principle, we need to be obedient. Now, Luke 11:28, I didn't read that yet. It says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So not just hear the word of God, not just see the signs. The important part of that is to keep it. We need to be obedient with our lives. We need to be obedient in every aspect of our lives. Now, number three, this is one of the most important things. So I want you to catch this today. We need to thank God for what he has done. Again, not have the mentality of, it's okay, God, never mind, I got it covered. I did it myself. Look, man, we don't give God the credit for half the stuff, probably 3/4 of the stuff he does in our life, if we're honest. If we're honest. Luke 17:15-16, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Why is that even important? Why? I'm going to explain to you why it's important. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. It was a ridiculous feud that they had. They did not like each other. And I'm going to explain to you why. The Assyrians took over a place. They mixed with the Jews. And so there was what, in Jews' mind, was half-breeds that didn't belong. Let me tell you something. Everybody belongs. There's no such thing as a half-breed. I'm just going to be upfront and honest with you. Okay? We need to get that into our minds and into our thought process. Because, again, going back, everyone belongs to God. Everyone is available to come to him. Everyone is to be a part of our family. Okay, so that one, that needs to go away. But this is what he's saying. Somebody that should hate me is coming back and saying, thank you for what you've done. You've changed me. And the people that were a part of his family just took off. Weren't a part of it. Weren't thankful for it. Now, they may have been like, all right, thanks, man, and kept on going. But it doesn't even say they did that. This guy came back and said, man, You have changed my world. Do you know what? There's some people in your life you need to go to, not just to give them glory or credit, but you need to go to every now and then and thank them for what they've input into your life. Because there's a lot of people that put... I text my buddy in Louisiana, call him. Well, every time I talk to him, half the time I'm thanking him for speaking into my life years ago. And I tell him exactly... This is cool. Well, I don't know. I tell him exactly what he said to me. That's how clear the conversation was to me. And do you know what he says? Like, I remember sitting on the couch talking to you, and I remember us praying, but I don't remember nothing else, right? Why? Because it wasn't life-changing to him, right? But it was everything to me. It was everything to me. And we need to remember people that God has put into our lives, and they've spoken into our lives, and they've helped us through situations, and they've been there through different things. We need to go and thank them. Say, thank you so much for allowing God to use you. Remember to put that part in, allowing God to use you. Because without God, they wouldn't have the ability to do it either. Without what God's done in their life, they wouldn't have the ability to do it either. He was a Samaritan. We need to be thankful. And this brings up the scripture. And this is what I was about to go to earlier, and I wanted to make sure, and I do have it here. When we go back to the scripture where it says, if we're in the will of God, if we ask anything in his will, then we have it. How many know one of the biggest questions that Christians have is, am I in the will of God? Am I in the will of God? And I think we miss it some. This is Toby. This is the Toby translation. Y'all ready? I think we miss it somehow because we put the will of God as this big thing that we're trying to attain. Like we're trying to get to the will of God. And I don't think that that's the way that it is. Me, personally. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you and guide you. But there's one place in the scripture for sure that he says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Y'all ready for it? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Everybody say, all circumstances. Every single one of them, good, bad, indifferent. All circumstances, give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. You want to be in the will of God? Consistently be in God's presence. Pray without ceasing, he says, right? Rejoice always. No matter what situation I'm in, be thankful that God's in control of it. You know what? I've been hitting the teeth with a couple of things the last couple of days, and I've been trying to give stuff, and I have one friend that's trying to pour into my life and be like, dude, it's okay. It's okay. God's in control. God's in control. Like, I know that's the answer. Like, I know it. But sometimes in the middle of the situation, it's hard to walk into it. Right? We need to remember that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance because God is in control. And if I'm following him and I'm doing everything I can to do what he's called me to do, everything is going to be all right. Regardless if it turns out the way that I want it to or not. I think back about the boys that were going to be thrown into the furnace. Daniel, same way. He's like, the boys are like, man, we're not going to do it. He's going to save us. And if he doesn't, it's okay. We're not going to do it, right? We need to understand God's in control whether it falls the way we want it to fall or not. Every circumstances. I want you to think this thought. Think this thought, right? I don't know who quoted this. It says this. It says, it's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. We need to remember that. We need to be thankful because what does that allow us to do? That allows us to be content in every situation. Every one of them. Like, well, you don't know my situation. No, but God does. And if it wasn't possible for us to be content in it, he wouldn't say it in his word. Right? He wouldn't tell us to do something that we cannot do. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. And then I'm going to come to this last point. Y'all ready for it? He will always respond to thankfulness. He will always respond to thankfulness. This is what happened. Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Remember what I said at the beginning of service, right? There were nine who were healed, but the tenth one was made whole. How many times do we... How many times do we miss the blessings God has for us in our life because we start to take credit for it ourselves? How many times do we forget to turn to the one who made it all possible for us to walk out of those situations? We forget to turn around and say, it's only because of you, God, that I'm able to do these things. It's only because of you. And do you know what happens? There's a blessing that comes. One, because when we do that, guess what? We're in his presence, right? And when you're in God's presence, everything changes, right? We need to understand that a thankful heart will open up all kinds of doors, all kinds of opportunities from God into our lives. One of the reasons why is because we're focusing on him and not all the junk that's around us, right? All the craziness that's happening. How many of you know your life is going to be crazy? Jesus said it. He said, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But cheer up. I've overcome the world. Like, gee, that's good for you, Jesus, but I'm still in the world. He said, but if you're in me, you've overcome the world. Only in me will you overcome the world. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If God is the only one with the answers to that, then the only way we can get it is for our lives to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when that happens, everything that the Father has is available to us. Everything. Everything. I go to my dad's house right now. He got a fishing pole in the back I want to use. I'm like, Dad, I want to use this fishing pole. He's like, yep, go ahead. Why? Because he loves me? Because I'm his son? Because everything I... He said, everything I have belongs to you. Everything I have. Now, does he expect me to bring it back? Yes, he does, right? He didn't just give it to me forever. He's loaning it out for a minute, right? But and sometimes that's how some of the gifts are. Be honest. Sometimes we have a gift for a certain season, right? And we operate in that gift for that certain season. And sometimes that season's over and he opens up a whole new door. How do I know that's a true statement? It's because he says when you're faithful in the little things, you'll be given much. So why is he going to put me in charge of a whole bunch of stuff if I ain't going to take care of the little things? He won't. So the gift that I have for today may be right now for this season. And I may move out of this season and go into another one. It's what happens. Do you know why? This goes back to something my pastor in Louisiana told me. Because healthy things grow and growing things change. Healthy things grow and growing things change, right? I plant a tree in the yard. It's really healthy. It's this tall. But it ain't going to stay that tall if it's really healthy. What's it going to do? It's going to grow. We need to understand. If it's not growing, think about this in your life spiritually. If it's not growing, something's wrong. It's not healthy. It's missing something. Do you know if you put the right amount of fertilizer and the right amount of feed and the different things and the water and the stuff that you're supposed to with the plant, it grows and it flourishes. If you have one ingredient missing out of it, it doesn't grow. It may grow a little. It may grow a little. And I'm going to explain it to you. So we had this stuff that was given to us, some lemongrass. Rob gave us a little pot of lemongrass, right? And he gave it to us, and it was in a pot about like this. And we left it, and it started getting big all of a sudden. Then it kind of started growing down and doing different things. And he's like, man, you need to put it in a different pot. Right? You need to put it, plant it, or do something with it. So what we did is we got some mushroom compost from Annette, and we put it in this big pot right here, and we put this in it, and it was about this tall. Do you know that sucker's like this tall and like this big? Why? Because we put that in it. Another thing I did is I took some worms, because we were moving some stuff, and had them big, fat, ugly worms, like whatever, you know? We took a bunch of them and threw them in the pot. He said, why'd you do that? Because it makes fertilizer. It helps it to grow. Do you know that thing constantly is growing and we got to keep cutting it back? Why? Because it's getting big. Why? Because it's healthy. It has all the things that it needs in its life. Do you know what? We need to get all of those things in our life. And the main thing we need to put at the center of that is thankfulness to God for everything that he's given us. I'm going to tell you this one statement and we're going to quit. Y'all ready? A thankful heart opens our eyes to a multitude of blessings that continually surround us. Do you know you're surrounded by the blessings of God, whether you see it or not? Whether you see it or not, you are surrounded by the blessings of God. When we come to Him, when we get in His presence, when we thank Him for things, do you know what? It opens up doors and opportunities that we never thought possible in our lives. Why? Because we're focused on Him. Because he allows us to start seeing Him. One of the things that I love about in the Old Testament, there was a story. There was a prophet. He had his guy standing there. There was a bunch of people. They were going to attack him. And the guy was getting scared. He was on a mountaintop. He was getting scared. And he said, look, we're about to die. It's Toby's translation. Look, we're about to die. And he said, God opened his eyes that he could see. And it says like scales fell off his eyes. And he saw the multitude of angels that were surrounding them. And then he wasn't afraid anymore. Why? Because he allowed God to show him what he was doing in the situation. Without seeing what God was doing in the situation, he was done. I'm going to die. It's over. How many of you know, with God, all things are possible? All things are possible. I like what Aaron said a couple weeks ago. Ask the dead man that rolled over and hit the bones. Right? How thankful he is that God could do anything. Right? Y'all remember the story? They threw the guy because he had time and he hit bones. And anyway, if you don't, go back and look for it. It's a really good story, and it's in there. It's in there. We need to open our hearts. We need to let our hearts be transformed by the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Scripture says, so that we have a thankful heart, so that we look to God and say, God, thank you for this mess that I'm in. Like, wait, that's dumb. No, I'm glad I'm in it, because he's going to show me a way to get out of it. He's going to bring me through it. And what happens is this. In this little mess that I'm in right here, that's my whole world, it's getting me ready for this mess that's over here. Looks like this, right? Think the thought. I've told you this before. It's like school, kindergarten. Give a kindergartner a math test, right? 2 + 2 = And they're like, oh, this is so difficult. But once they learn it, it's not difficult anymore. You give that kindergartner an algebra test. Like, wait, what? No. You give an algebra student a 2 + 2 test, he just breezes it. Why? Because he already knows it. He's already been there. He already understands what's happening. He knows the process of how to get through it. Do you know why sometimes we face so many battles and trials and issues? It's not because we're not in the will of God. It's because we're being strengthened and built up so that we can do battle for God later in the issues and problems that are coming. Now, I thought y'all would be, look, battles that are coming. Okay, there you go. That's a better response, man. Understand that God is teaching us and strengthening us and making us grow. And how do we do it? First of all, man, by looking to Him in every situation for every answer, and then understanding that it's Him that it comes from and giving Him glory for it. Amen. Come on back up, Christopher. We're gonna finish. I want to ask you this question. I want you to think this thought. First of all these things, as I said earlier, we have in Christ Jesus. You might be here today and you're not in Christ Jesus. You might be here today and you're struggling or wondering, hey, man, I don't know God. I don't know if I have salvation. I don't know if I'm one of His children. It's really simple. You ready? Now, how many of you know there's some simple, difficult things? Some very difficult, simple things. This is the thing. The Scripture says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we will be saved. Do you know what the belief in our heart will do? It'll make us change our direction. Right? When I believe God's word, when I believe that He died for my sins, that I believe that He has freedom, that He paid for my freedom, I begin to walk in the freedom. So repentance comes because of the belief that's in my heart. A change comes. Do you know why we confess it with our mouth? One, so that I understand it and know it, but two, so that the people around me know it, right? When I decide to make a stand in my life, when I decide to do something, so this is a true story. I was Nick and we were hanging out for a while, and I mean, we still do, but it was a while back that this happened. And I told them I was changing to be plant-based, right? That's what I did for a minute. I'm going back to it. But I've eaten a lot of meat since then. Anyway, no, I made that decision, and do you know what they did? they made alterations in what we were. It was during the COVID situation. We were together all the time, right? We had the Russians here. Remember, we had the son. They had the mom and dad. So every day we were meeting together. Do you know what they did? They changed some of their situations, what they were doing as far as eating goes, so that it would accommodate me, right? So they were behind me, and they supported me, and they said, it ain't for me, but I'm going to help you do it the best that you can do it. Do you know what? Some things that you're called to in your life or your neighbor is called to in their life isn't for you, but we should be standing behind them and supporting them in everything. You know, we make that statement of faith when we say, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. I want you to help me. I want you to transform me. Do you know what that does? That does something in our lives, but it does something in the lives of the people around us too. How many of you know sometimes you have to convince yourself sometimes that you're in that place? You're there, but you have to convince yourself, right? How many of you are living that life? I live in that life all the time, right? When we reach out to him, when we say, I accept that gift that you've given me. I accept the life that you have for me. And when we follow it, when we obey it, when we're obedient to it, everything changes. Everything changes. Today, you may say, I may have said the prayer, or I never gave my life to him, or I may have done this, or I may have done that. Understand that there is a change. There is a process. And it starts with us saying, God, I can't do it. I give you everything. This morning, bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, as we sit in this place, I'm going to say this prayer, and I understand it's not these words I say. It's not a mantra or some thing that we do. But it's us standing in unity together, proclaiming that you are our Father, that you sent your Son, and that we have this free gift, and that we accept it now. I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your Son so that I could have freedom in my life, but most importantly, I'd have access to you. I ask right now, Father, that you would allow me to understand that I'm a part of your family, that you've accepted me in. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I want some of you guys to be honest with yourselves. There's a lot of things in my life that looking at this message and reading these things, that's the cool thing about me getting to go through all this before y'all. He hits me hard in the mouth while I'm sitting there looking at it to read it, to be like, yeah, I got to tell everybody else about this too, right? I had to look at a lot of things in my life that I was taking credit for and not giving thanks to God for it. Like my marriage, like how amazing it is, like my kids and how blessed I am to have them. Like the situation that I'm in here, that I'm the pastor here at Victory Church. You know, there are so many things that are blessings that only came from God and are only because of him. Because me and myself, I'm kind of messed up at times. Not all the time. Don't ask my wife about that one. Sometimes, right? Understanding that in the midst of my inability to do things, the midst of my weaknesses, that's when I need to understand, one, that I need God the most, and two, how good he is because of all the things he's brought me through that I couldn't get through by myself. So this week, as we get ready to go out these doors, we're going to sing a song in a minute, and I want you to stand up, and we're going to go through. Go ahead, stand up. We're going to go through some things, but I'm going to say a prayer just really quick and say, God, man, help us see you. Help us focus our lives on you. Help us have a thankful heart. Holy Spirit, help us to change the perspective of our situation, of where we're at, and of how we see things so that we can be focused on you and everything. And in turn, point everyone that we come in contact with to you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's sing.